Sermons at Westminster Presbyterian Church, an intentionally inclusive community of faith in Worcester, Ohio.
Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. And today is one of those Sundays where you really would have wished the lectionary would have presented us with a different scripture reading, and you will soon find out why. This is the word of God. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' He fired him. Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. People will welcome me as their friend.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'How much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master then commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." After reading Jesus' parable for today, it actually makes a pastor feel better about one's own ability to preach. Jesus' sermon for today, known as the parable of the dishonest manager, is confusing and strange, giving one relief that a sermon is actually not about entertainment, but about engagement, listening, and dialogue that leads to transformation. It seems to me we experienced this kind of conversation last Sunday after my sermon, "Keep Your Nose in the Bible, Preacher." And you can listen to that online if you so wish. Because during the prayers of the people, some worshipers used the time to engage in conversation about issues of race within our society and within ourselves. This conversation left some of us worshiping with a deep sense of uncomfortableness and confusion. And to me, that moment, that is a good thing. If we truly want to be an intentionally inclusive community of faith, we need to embrace these moments of discomfort and allow ourselves to enter these sacred pauses with vulnerability and a willingness to listen in generosity of our judgment of one another. You see, now is not a time to flee, but it is a time to engage. A time of engagement is how I would summarize Westminster's presence this past week at the Wayne County Fair as we protested and engaged the Fair Board's official decision that they will allow the sale and display of the Confederate flag by vendors as part of a coalition called hashtag Wayne County Fair for All. A time to engage is also how I interpret this parable of Jesus with its many interpretive possibilities, with each opening us to more and more questions and leaving us with very few answers. But still, it invites us not to flee, but encourages us to engage. To engage is how I will characterize our denomination's invitation to contemplate justice today as we prepare ourselves for World Communion on Sunday, October 2nd. World Communion is a Sunday where Christians across the country sit down on the table that Jesus has prepared for us as siblings, as we proclaim Jesus is Lord of all. Take note that today we are talking about justice before we contemplate next week about reconciliation. Once again, as last Sunday, feelings of discomfort and hesitation fills our minds, as in contemporary culture, it seems that the word justice is being equated with the word peace and reconciliation. And that is far from the truth. There will be no peace without justice, and there will be no reconciliation without justice. Justice comes first. It is then in the midst of this week that Jesus, through this parable, invites us to follow him into questions of how we practice neighborly love in economic relationships in the midst of unjust structures. As one commentator points out, in Luke, the joy of the gospel is the joy of God's healing of relationships, including economic relationships. Jesus repeatedly warns that we cannot be disciples, we cannot be Jesus' followers if we accumulate wealth at the expense of the poor. Interesting to me that Jesus talks about the economy today. As this past week at the Wayne County Fair, and we met people from all walks of life and in diverse backgrounds, are struggling because of the economic plight that a lot of people are feeling. Many of the College of Worcester students gathered here today, and some of our members joined us as we engage in conversation. People are struggling, and as largely middle-class, privileged Presbyterians, College of Worcester students, it's sometimes difficult for us to see and to hear. To me, it's no wonder that Dr. Martin Luther King referred to the triple evils of poverty, racism, and militarism, which are all forms of violence that exist in a vicious cycle. They are interrelated, all-inclusive, and stand as barriers to us as communities living into the beloved community. Therefore, now is not a time to flee, but it is a time to engage. Yet, as a church, and I'm not talking about Westminster per se, as a church that resembles the body of Christ, we are hesitant to address the triple evils as stated by Dr. King. I sometimes find ourselves wrapped up in the complexity of the situation, debating, trying to understand, but finding ourselves reluctant to engage and forget that it is through engagement that we become more fully to understanding and experience each other as human beings created in the image of God. So therefore, in this parable before us, the beloved community actually comes about through justice and mercy as the manager And this is very interesting, and this is the catch of this parable. As the manager alters the bills of those who owe the master money, thus earning the thanks of the debtors, when he is finally fired, he will have friends who owe him something because of his actions. Here, this dishonest steward or debt collector is praised for his dishonest actions. And that is very, very hard for us to reconcile. Here Jesus says that the steward is wise because he uses what he has at his disposal for a few more hours. And see, there's this urgency in this parable because he's fired already and he's got a couple of days to set right what he did wrong. So there's this urgency for him to do what is right. No wonder these days when you get fired by huge companies, you walk in a door, they fire you, and you have to, they walk with you, you have to vacate your desk, and you're fired. Here, he had a couple of hours less, and he had an urge and a drive to do what is right, to set things right, until his dismissal takes effect. And he did it to improve the situation. This whole parable then is against our moral judgment, as we, of who we are, want to jump to the conclusion that being faithful to what is another's means being faithful to what belonged to the rich landlord, including the interest that he charged. But what? Let's just imagine, but what if instead the opposite might be an equally credible position or possibility? And that is that Jesus might be talking about being faithful to what rightfully belonged to the peasants who were being exploited and being cheated out of their land. And to understand this, we need a little bit of understanding of the economic system in the Roman Empire. And therefore, I'm quoting commentator Barbara Rossing, who says, looking at the economics of Roman-occupied Palestine in the first century, rich landlords and rulers were loan sharks. Loan sharks is nothing new. They were loan sharks using exorbitant interest rates to amass more land and to disinherit peasants of their family land, little small farmers, in direct violation of the biblical covenantal law. The rich man, or lord, or just plainly sir, along with his steward or debt collector, were both exploiting desperate peasants, the poorest of poor people. When the debt collector then reduced the payments, the stewards may have been simply for giving his own cut of the interest that was charged. Or he may have been doing what the law of God commands, namely forgiving all the hidden interest in these contracts. To ingratiate himself with the debtors, he had them change the amount they owed on their bills to exactly the amount they borrowed in the first place, eliminating then all hidden and prohibited interest. If the rich landlord was not a Gentile but a Jew, which our text doesn't really say, he would know that the Torah teaches against charging such interest. The rich man then suddenly recognizes that he needed at least to appear to observe covenantal law, commending therefore his steward. And this is what makes this parable so confusing and uncomfortable to us, as it forces us to understand life from a different context, to look at it from the bottom up, to understand it from the context of the poor. It extends our idea of who our community is, who is our siblings, as it makes it clear that we should use the wealth we have, not to make friends among the rich, but to make friends among the poor, leaving us with the question, who as a church is really our friends? Jesus, in this parable, also makes it clear that life is precious and life is short. And for all of us, life is temporary. I don't want to be a downer, but the reality is that each one of us will die one day. Death is our future. And now we have this life. And this parable then encourages us to be good stewards of what we have. The message is urgent. It's timely. Make friends with the poor. Jesus says that in this life, we must serve God's justice rather than seek wealth for ourselves. What justice is in the parable is very clear. The debt collector paying restitution to the poor peasants, and that's important, paying restitution. The word restitution is a difficult concept. Paying restitution to the poor peasants by forgiving their debt and forcing the rich landlord to show mercy to him by observing the covenantal law. That is the work of social justice. And that is the work that we as a church is called to do. When our communities are suffering, when soup kitchens cannot provide enough food, when Goodwill cannot provide enough clothes, we are called to do more than showing charity. That is when we are called to do social justice. This past week at the Wayne County Fair, it was so clear that people of all ethnic groups are struggling. I can share with you numerous stories this morning of the father who is working at the slushy stand fighting the bees, you know, those slushy machines, driving this equipment, then working his shifts from 10 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night as he's providing for his 5 children, one of whom is legally blind and the other one who's dealing with a mental disease. Or maybe it's the woman, the mother, who lives in our community, again, who's struggling to pay her medical bills. Or maybe it's the farmer who stopped by, who's at the fair, who's struggling to keep their family farm that has belonged to them now for generations and generations. So many people struggling in an unjust system. The working poor, many, many people working, not earning a living wage, working 3 and 4 jobs just to make a living. And still, so much anger misdirected against the minorities within our community, the LGBTQ population, the people of color. It's not their fault, so to speak, that the system is failing us. They are not taking our jobs. It is in times like this that we as a church is invited to engage. Let's stop debating what's right or what's wrong. Let's start making friends with those who lives in the margins of our society, and we do not have to go far. They are on the campus of the College of Worcester. They are neighbors next to us and down the street. They are the people. Can you hear me? They are the people. This is how we see one another. They are the people we see when we do our grocery shopping. We do not have to go far. Now is not a time to hesitate. Now is the time to get involved. Amen.
Thank you for sharing time with Westminster. You can learn more about our community of faith on our website at wpcworcester.org.